As I stand to speak to you this morning, on last Sunday at the 8 o'clock service, Mansell Carroll preached, and he preached from this same scripture. I was listening to the radio, and the preacher that was preaching preached from this very same text. And I heard something, I believe, that Minister Vaughn said when he came in my office about the fact that this is basically the story that we tell every year. And we can't change it, we can't rewrite it, because it is the story, amen? And so I want you to look this morning at the Gospel according to Matthew, which is the first book in the New Testament. And I want you to look at the first chapter, verses 18 through 25. And we're going to read those, and you already know the reading rules, is that at commas we pause, at periods we stop, and we read so we can hear. Amen. And we're going to actually ask you to read it from the screen, even if you have your Bible. And the reason is that puts everybody in the same place, because the screen may not have changed and you're continuing to read and it throws you off. So read it directly from the screen, if you will, this morning, please, when we're ready. Amen. Let's begin. Now, that word in that verse, espoused, is the same word that we would use as engaged to, okay? So not married to, but engaged to, amen? In that day, because I got to get your mind back where this text is, amen? All right, and the next verse says, now notice that they were engaged, but yet the scripture says, then Joseph, her husband. And I'll talk to you about that in the sermon today, because there's just a different mindset than the one that we're working with in 2019. And the next verse says, appeared unto him in a what? Which means he must have been asleep. All right. Same. All right. That shows you that they weren't legally, as we would call it, married, because the angel said, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. Amen. So don't fear in doing this, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's go to the next verse. Hold on. And she shall bring forth a son. Didn't say a child. It said the gender of the child shall bring forth a son. Now, remember this, in the days that we're talking, that when boys were born, now in my day, if I had my father's name, my father's name would make me Junior, which I do have. I would be Junior. But in those days, you would have bar whatever in front of it. That's how you have Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, Bar, B-A-R, means the son of. So whatever, Bar-Jonah is the son of Jonah. Bartimaeus is the son of Timaeus. That's what that word means. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And we shall call his name what? Jesus. Amen. Now, God with us. Then Joseph, Jesus, amen. And this morning, I won't be long, but I just want to talk to you about a fishy beginning with a marvelous ending. A fishy beginning with a marvelous ending. How many of you in here can you know, and not only do you know, but you can testify to the fact that you don't have to ask for trouble because trouble will find you? And I'm gonna need you to talk with me, amen? So if I ask a question, that means I ought to get a response, amen? Amen. How many of you know that you do not have to ask for trouble because trouble will find you? How many of you know that just because folks say that you have done something does not mean that you're guilty of the act? How many of you know that? Just recently, I read an article about a man who was able to walk out of prison after serving 35 years of his life behind bars because someone said that he did something that he did not do. So many people have been falsely accused because somebody said that they did something that they did not do. And how many of you know that there are some people in this world who specialize in running folks down, talking about other folks, and getting in other folks' business? Get your own Kool-Aid and get out of other folks' business. Somebody talk to me. Let me share something with you. Folks that's always in somebody else's business, give them a quarter, as Brother Brooks used to tell me. Let me give you a quarter and let you go buy you some business, Reb. You over in my business right now. You need to stay out of folks' business, but folks will get in your business. Now, can you imagine Joseph? You've got to picture yourself. Here is Joseph in preparation, and he's in preparation of his wedding day. He's a male who is a part of a very prominent family. And you, if you can put yourself in this place, you even have the right to claim that you came from the bloodline of kings, and your family has been instrumental down through history, through the years, and your parents have made arrangements. Now notice this, your parents have made arrangements with another set of parents for you and their daughter to get married. Now you know we're not in 2019 in this text, don't you? Because ain't nobody picking nobody for you. You marry who you want to marry, amen? Listen, when I was in high school and I was dating this girl, my mama said, no matter who I ask to go anywhere with me, my mom says, I just don't think she's right for you. I know that family, and that family ain't none of them never been no good. Ain't nobody never been good enough to date me. And I said, her mama probably saying, I know that family, and he ain't good enough for you either. But that's just the way we are. Now, we have to understand, but by the 2019 standards, that you would not have been espoused, you would have been engaged. And in 2019, folks get engaged, but they also call off engagements. Matter of fact, I told them this morning that folks get engaged in 2019, and then they turn around and take the ring that you gave them, and instead of giving it back to the man that gave it to them, they go and soak that ring upon that ring. Some of y'all might have done that very same thing. He ain't getting this back, never should have given it to me if he didn't want me to have it. But among the Jews, you got to hear me, among the Jewish people, marriage vows were taken at the time of the engagement, and it required a legal divorce in order to end it. It kind of sounds like to me what my mama used to say, that your word is your, somebody got the same mama akin to, your word is your, what you say you ought to mean and mean what you say. The custom of the day required a period or an interval, if you will, of 1 year of engagement before the bride could actually take residence in her husband's house and consummate their union. It was during this time that Mary came up pregnant, found with child. The engaged couple had not lived together, they had not played house together, and neither had they played married with anybody else. Do I need to say any more? Get this, Joseph knows that there has been no shacking and there has been no acting up with him. And then the news hits him, this woman that he has looked forward to marrying with such great joy is definitely showing the signs of being pregnant, and she is with child. However, he knows that he is not the daddy. All the grief that this must have felt. He had heard her parents planning this huge, elaborate ceremony. Now put yourself in Joseph's place. This is a big pill to swallow. I tell you what, I was sitting in my office yesterday, and as I was looking at this message, I thought, now wait a minute. If I were Joseph, and she comes up and she's pregnant, and I got to deal with this, I tell you what, she better do some doggone good explaining, and she sure better not be lying to me when she tell me. It would be easier to digest it if you knew that she was an adulteress. That would be automatic grounds for calling the whole matter off. If she had been taken advantage of, then the law would actually grant a visa in that situation as well. You see, according to Jewish law, Joseph had been a man since he turned 13 years old. And he's been trained in the law, nurtured in the law, and he's been taught to love God with all of his soul and all of his strength and with all of his mind. But his fiancée, Mary, has caused him to suffer like this boy has never suffered before. And he's not the real daddy, but you know people. People are going to say that he is. Somebody here understands that sometimes in life, we have to deal with problems that we did not generate. Can I get one witness in the house? Is there anybody that's ever had to deal with a problem that you did not generate? You did not order from the problem and the pain side of the menu. You did not request tears, and you did not request heartbreak, and you did not ask for room on the dark side of life, and you did not ask for troubles, and you did not ask for pain and tears, and you didn't ask for worry and doubt and hopelessness. How many of you know that a lot of the mess that you go through in life is not your fault? Talk back with me, somebody. How many of you know that a lot of the mess you go through is not your fault? Your children can bring trauma and drama in your life. Your husband can rock your world. Your wife can blow your mind. Your supervisor can work your nerves. How many of you have felt the heat from a fire that you did not start in your life? Talk with me, talk with me, talk with me. I know this is going to be hard for some of you to do, but I need you to keep yourself in Joseph's place. You are now feeling the heat. You have now spent every waking hour trying to figure out what to do. That sounds just like you, because Matthew describes you as just. And the word just means that you are a righteous man and a man who bases his earthly actions on heavenly principles. You are just, and the Bible has all kinds of descriptions for just folks like you. God says that he sends rain on the just as well as the Jesus says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The just shall live by faith. You want to do the right thing? You've been trying to do the right thing ever since you knew what the right thing was to do. And yes, I can look at you and tell that you want to do the right thing, but in order to do the right thing, you're spending every waking moment trying to figure out how to fix this thing. Joseph, can I help you understand that while you are trying to fix this thing is getting bigger by the moment. That's how some problems are in life. While you trying to fix a problem, the problem is getting bigger. While you trying to fix a problem, the problem is getting louder. While you trying to fix the problem is getting deeper. While you trying to fix the problem, it's getting more and more out of hand. But I have found out something about Joseph. He's spending every waking hour trying to figure out how to fix the problem. Get this, don't you miss this. He's spending every waking hour trying to fix the problem, but he hasn't spent any time in prayer to allow the problem solver to access his problem. Anybody in here got problems? Then if you got problems, you need to spend some time with the problem solver. Is there anybody in here know anything about the problem solver? That all you got to do is take your problems to him and leave them there. Won't he work them out? Talk back to me. Won't he work them out? Somebody ought to have a testimony. He did it for me. There's somebody in here with not a lot of hope this morning, but if you give them hope by saying he worked it out for me, they might believe that God can do the same thing for them. So if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. So before I jump on Joseph, there are a whole lot of people who have become the handyman of problem solving without the benefit of consecrated prayer. You got to learn how to go to God in prayer. God can work some things out. How won't he do it? God will work some things out. Won't he do it? No, let me talk with me. Won't he do it? How many of you know God can work some things out? How many of you know why you worried God can work some things out? How many of you know why you're in the worrying stage? The truth of the matter is God has already worked some things out. Somebody talk back with me. Is there anybody can testify in here that, Pastor, I have gone through hell and high water, but God brought me out because God was working on my behalf when I didn't even know God was working. Somebody talk back to me. I didn't know God was working on my behalf. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Because I believe that prayer and problems should be brought together at the altar of petition. I believe if you got a problem, you ought to seek prayer on your problem. And I believe that God will give you a praise report in the end that says, I was down sinking in sin, but God stepped in, worked things out, turned me around, planted my feet on solid ground. He will make a way. Yes, he will. 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 I tried him for myself. Yes, sir. I tried him for myself. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Slow down, Joshua. Slow down. Don't go there. Get slow down. But when you talk about what the Lord will do, my soul gets happy because I know what he'll do. I know what a problem solver he is. I know what a worker he is in your life. See, folks just look at you today and they think of what they see today as how you've always been. They just don't know what God has brought you through. Imagine problems without prayer. Problems without prayer. David would have lost his kingdom to Absalom. Jonah would have been fish food had it not been for prayer. Abraham would have stayed Abram had it not been for prayer. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have burned up had it not been for prayer. Paul and Silas would still be locked in jail had it not been for prayer. Remember, they had a prayer meeting at midnight. Prayer makes a difference, y'all. When you don't know what to do, you just call upon the Lord. You pray to the Lord, and I promise you he'll work it out. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Paul bearers would have been carrying Hezekiah 15 years earlier had it not been for prayer. But prayer works things out. Is anybody hearing me today? Am I doing anybody any good today? You know that your life would be a wreck without prayer. And let me tell you something. Listen, let me tell you something. The fact of the matter is that you would have lost your mind a long time ago had it not been for prayer. You would still be crying today if it had not been for prayer. And I hear you talking, and I hear you talking back to me, and I hear you saying, but Pastor, I really haven't been at the altar, and I really haven't been on my knees, and I really haven't been in prayer. Baby, it ain't always your prayer that makes God move. Sometimes it's Mama and Big Mama Nim's prayers that were prayed years ago, and God heard their prayers years ago when God was asked and petitioned to watch over you way back in the 80s and 90s. And here we are in 2019, and God's answering Big Mama Nim's prayers. Somebody ought to praise God in the house. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. When you look at your test, you stop seeing your test as a test, but you start seeing your test as the prefix to your testimony. In other words, anybody, you ain't got to raise your hand, but I'll know you. Anybody here going through right now? You ain't got to raise your hand, but anybody here going through right now? Anybody catching it right now? You ain't got to raise your hand. But if you are, just know that the test you're going through is actually the building stage for your testimony. And where you are today, you're not going to be where you are always, because God is getting ready to move on your behalf. Somebody help me lift Jesus. I'd have given up a long time ago. But I'm living on some of my mom and daddy's prayers. How many of you reached the point of not knowing what to do with your situation? and just felt like throwing in the towel, felt like quitting. Listen, there is a time when all of us need to give way to the leadership of the Holy Spirit and to understand that this battle is not ours, but this battle belongs to the Lord. And the Lord does not need us to fight battles for him. He will fight for us. He said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. In the time of trouble, somebody ought to testify, in the time of trouble, the Lord will be with you. And Joseph spent every waking hour trying to figure out, what am I going to do with this scandal? And he knew he was innocent. But now the scandal was about to label his wife scandalous. And he knew he was innocent, but he thought sin had come in to his camp. Check this out. Don't miss it. But the Bible says he went to sleep. How do I know this? Because the word says the angel of the Lord, you read it, came to him in a dream. How can you sleep now? How can you fall asleep right now? Out of all of the times to go to sleep, the rumor mill is about to place your name and your family's name in the whirlwind. You're about to receive a terrible review in the social column. You're about to see what real malice from people is all about. And some of the same people who say that they love you are going to talk about you. And some of the same people who share meals with you are about to make you the main course of their communication. You have gone to sleep. Going to sleep is actually good news for Joseph, because he was so busy trying to fix things that the Lord couldn't grab his attention. So God took advantage of his predicament. Joseph went to sleep, but God went to work. Joseph went to sleep, but God started dictating a message to the angel. Joseph went to sleep, but God started giving the angels passports to come and bring him a message. Joseph went to sleep, but God neither slumbers nor sleep. Joseph went to sleep, but God opened the recesses of his subconscious. Joseph went to sleep. God interrupted his sleeping pattern to deposit something into his soul. He went to sleep, but God set up an angel to talk to him. And while he was sleeping, God had his attention, and God would not allow him to wake up from his dream until he was finished with him. Maybe that's your story. Maybe God is not allowing you to move from your perch or move from your position until he's finished with you. Maybe God has got you in a holding pattern right now because he's trying to get you to hold on to his unchanging hand. Maybe God has got you locked into a situation because he wants you to know that he's the door, he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. Somebody ought to give God praise. Maybe God has got you knocked down so that he can prove to you that he can lift you up. You got to hand it to Joseph, and somebody really needs to hear me. Don't let your problems destroy you. Go to sleep. Don't let the devil tell you you're not going to make it. Go to sleep. Don't let the devil tell you that he's going to take your life. Go to sleep. Don't let the devil tell you to give up now. Go to sleep. Don't let the devil's problems rattle you. Just go to sleep. But are you saying, Pastor, that if I go to sleep, that my problems will or will not be there in the morning? They may be there. They may be there, but I need you to remember this. Hold on. Just hold on. Because weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. Joseph, the angel says, you descendant of David, don't be afraid to follow through with your commitment to marry this woman. I know it's bad. I know you want to quit. I know you want to go somewhere else. But what you think looks bad to others is of the Holy Ghost. That word of denotes that it was not started by Mary. It was not started by her doctor's diagnosis. It was not started by it was started by the Holy Ghost. He impregnated Mary by overshadowing her. It was started by him, and if he starts it, somebody tell me what he'll do. He'll finish it. Oh, many times we have looked at situations and not seen God in the picture. You lost your job, but God has another job for you. You've been going and applying job after job after job, but just hold on. God's got another job. And guess what? The job that you get is going to be better than the job you had, but you just got to wait on God to answer your prayer. God's got a promotion for somebody, but you got to wait on God in order to get it. And while you're waiting, you got to praise in your waiting period. Somebody ought to testify in here. He did it for me. You've been the tail, but God's about to make you the head. You in for a promotion. You've been in the fields, but God's getting ready to bless you in the city. You've been lied on, but God is preparing you for a better situation. How do I know that God is in this thing? Look at the text and see that it says the angel of the Lord came to Joseph. But here's the good news. The angel didn't write the message. His job was to deliver the message. The message didn't get written on earth. It was written in heaven. The message did not become powerful when the angel told it. It was powerful when it fell from the lips of God. Somebody here ought to be glad that God is in your business. Everywhere you go, God is getting in your stuff. He's got you on his mind. He's proclaiming freedom from the captives. He's proclaiming great joy for the depressed. And he is in this thing. Joseph was given some things from the Lord through an angel that a man can deliver. Listen to me. This is why I know a man can deliver it. He was given information during his sleeping hours, and it had to come from God. He was given confirmation of God's presence. He was given theological information concerning Mary. He was given ultrasound results without an X-ray. He was given a birth certificate without a delivery room. He was given a name to use without stressing over a name. And the name he was given was Jesus. That name Jesus is found in the Bible 975 times. That name that translates to Joshua and Justice. That name that means he is the Son of God. That name that means he is the Savior of mankind. I gotta go to my seat, but can I just talk about that name for a minute? That name that means he is God incarnate. That name that means he's Jehovah is salvation. That name that means he heals the sick. That name that means he raises the dead. That name that means he fed 5,000. That name that means he wipes away all of our tears. That name that gives me hope. That name that never loses its power. That name that's cooler than the sea. That name that's more precious than rubies and diamonds. That name that suggests that he is God who became man. That name that suggests that he's man who became a servant. And that name that suggests he's a servant who became a sacrifice. And that name that suggests that he's a sacrifice who died on the Roman cross. That name that suggests he died on Friday. That name that rang through the hills on Friday night. That name that rang through the graveyard on Saturday night. And that name that rang through the heavens on Sunday morning. Death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't keep him. Humanity couldn't understand him. Mary couldn't recognize him. And Peter couldn't catch him, but early on Sunday morning, he got up from the grave, not with some power, but with all power in his hand. He's all right. Is there anybody to know he's all right? He is all right. He's the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the bright and morning star. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. My all and all, rock in a weary land, shelter in the time of storm, a way out of no way. I am that I am. He is Jesus. He's the Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. He's my all and all. Is there anybody here can give God some praise? Because he's all right. He's all right. It might have started as a mess, but it ended as a miracle. He's all right. Ain't nobody like him. What's his name? Call him. What's his name? Mama said, when you came, say Jesus. Just wave your hand. He's all right. He's all right. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's all right. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Bless your name, Jesus.
Come on, give God a hand clap of praise.
Bless your name, Jesus.
He is a good God. The doors of the church stand open. This is your opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. If you don't know him as your personal Savior, maybe you're looking for a church home. This is your opportunity to come today. The doors are open. Why don't you try Jesus? And I guarantee you, your life will never be the same. He's calling right Hallelujah. Now. Would there be one? Step out on faith today and know that Jesus is the way, the truth,
pray church,
and the
pray
life.
Church,
come
pray church.
Today.
Just pray church.
Sing about it.
I thank God
Say that
for the gift he gave
thank you.
To the world on that special day. The baby Jesus is what we needed, just to show us our sinful way. He was born in a manger,
yes, sir.
So weak and lonely, grew up
to be a man.
Today. Step out on faith.
Come. I thank God for the gift he gave to the world on that special day.
The baby Jesus is what we needed, just to show us our sinful way.
He was born in a manger, so meek and lowly.
To be a man,
humble and holy. Hallelujah.
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 This was
the greatest gift to me.
Yeah. This was
the greatest.
work, fellas. Come on.
Hallelujah.
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 Y'all gonna praise with us. Thank God.
Thank God
for the special,
special day.
Hallelujah.
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 He came.
Forgiveness,
grace,
peace,
holiness,
and righteousness.
Hallelujah.
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 This
was the greatest gift to me.
Yeah, 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 yeah. This
was the greatest gift to me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Why don't y'all stand and help us? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. Come on. Let's have a praise part as we leave.
Hallelujah.
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 He came
Jesus
to show us.
To show me
he gave us love,
power,
understanding,
and
forgiveness.
Another hand clap of praise for what he has done.